The wildfires in California have destroyed lives and property with still more to be added. While some look to science as a means to prevent a natural disaster like this to repeat itself, others approach the threat with an agenda, which my next guest says contains its own threats. With us now to discuss this is a senior policy analyst for the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, known as CFACT, Dr. Bonner Cohen. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
CFACT.org is the website, and probably to the surprise of nobody, if you ask certain people what the causes of the various fires all throughout California are, the answer, of course, is, well, now they don't call it global warming anymore because they found out labeling can be hazardous to your health when you're trying to prove a false point. But they nevertheless are saying that it's because of global warming that this has been all the reason behind these fires. So what does science and logic and facts say versus the claims?
Well, California has a long, well-documented history of wildfires. They're simply a scourge in California and elsewhere throughout the arid West. The climate out there is such that given the high winds that you have in California, for instance, it's called the Diablo in the north and the Santa Ana in the south. And when someone accidentally throws away a cigarette, does something else careless, when you might have an occasional lightning strike or what have you, you're going to run into a tinderbox. Why? Because you have a lot of forests. The area is subject to drought. That means that there's a lot of dry stuff that can burn very rapidly. And Californians have been facing this ever since the state has been settled. What is not at work here are two things. First of all, the whole situation out there has nothing to do with quote-unquote climate change. As a matter of fact, the climate is doing exactly what it always has done. It is a dry, arid climate, and it is a climate that is actually such that it's going to help the spread of wildfires because that's just the way that particular part of the universe works. It is also the case that in the wake of the wildfires, there have been two groups of them. One got underway in October. That was in Northern California. Another one is raging out there now. It's in Southern California. You also have trial lawyers who have ridden in deciding that someone has to be blamed for this, preferably someone with deep pockets, so someone you can sue. And this is exactly what they have done, going after a very large, deep-pocketed California utility called Pacific Gas and Electric, charging with no evidence whatsoever that PG&E neglected to clear transmissions lines and vegetation, and that enabled the wildfires to spread. These people are obviously interested in making a fast buck and couldn't care less about the tremendous amount of agony that homeowners throughout that region have gone through. And it's a real travesty that it just shows you there are no depths to which the trial lawyer bar will not sink.
What you just said about the forest and the natural results of the flow of nature, and it creates basically the tinder for fires like this to happen, wasn't the whole reason behind the Healthy Forest Initiative to get in there to clear this out to prevent the fires?
That's exactly right. The administration of George W. Bush took a step in the right direction when it developed something through the Department of Interior called the Healthy Forest Initiative. And you have a lot of national forests out west, and those national forests have been mismanaged not for years but for decades. They had a practice out there called fire suppression, that any fire that started out there, they suppressed it immediately. And when they were successful, all they managed to do was allow the buildup of more tinder to come about. And so when a fire came the next time, dead and diseased trees were there to add to the conflagration. And, of course, this is completely contrary to any sensible forest management policies. No tree farmer would ever allow this kind of thing to happen on private land, but unfortunately all that out there is public land, run by the U.S. Forest Service. So the Bush administration said, look, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And it developed a policy that allows for the trimming and removal of dead and diseased trees. Now, that's a step in the right direction, but it came terribly late, and there are still forests out west, including in California, that are disastrously overgrown. And when a spark comes, whatever that cause may be, those forests and the people living near them will be at grave risk.
I'm with Dr. Bonner Cohen, who is the Senior Policy Analyst for the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT for short, CFACT.org, the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I've been out in California, too, and close enough to fires where, I have to tell you, when you walk out of the house and it's snowing ash, that is not a happy day in the neighborhood.
No, and that points to how environmentally disastrous these forest fires are. They put an enormous amount of soot in the air. I was watching a reporter on television last night report from the fires, and the reporter was wearing a mask because the last thing you want to do is breathe the air that is caused by this. We spend an incredible amount of money regulating emissions from this, that, and the other, and every bit of good that comes from that is more than wiped out by one of these giant conflagrations that we see far too often in California and elsewhere throughout the West. So in addition to the personal tragedy of people who are killed in these things or lose their homes or what have you, you also have a public health and an environmental problem because the air quality resulting from these giant wildfires is absolutely disastrous.
And you look at the numbers, too, the wine country wildfires, 14,700 homes. Most recent numbers I have here is 728 businesses, 3,600 private cars, commercial vehicles, farm equipment, watercraft. Above and beyond that, though, so far 43 people died as a result of the fires, including a firefighter, it's losing a firefighter in any reason is a tragedy and sad. The fact that it's only been one so far is a major miracle, given the...
Yes, it is. It shows you the amazing professionalism that the fire suppression forces out there have. They're, of course, they're very experienced in doing this, and the really tricky thing they have to deal with out there are the winds, particularly the ones that we're seeing on TV now, the Santa Ana winds in Southern California. Sometimes they blast at 70 miles per hour, and they change direction very quickly. So these guys out fighting these fires have to pay very close attention to what the wind is doing. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves trapped by fires, and unfortunately, that happens.
There was the most recent report from the government's National Climate Assessment. They took a look at the connections between global warming and Western U.S. wildfires, and they classify it as a low to medium confidence for a detectable human climate change contribution in the region. That's defined as being based on inconclusive evidence, medium evidence based on suggestive evidence, few sources, limited, it goes on from there. I don't want to turn people's ears numb with definitions here. But is this a time for the global warming proponents, given the magnitude of what we're seeing happening in Southern California this time? You can make the claim, but now it's time to turn your cards over. What have you got as far as facts to back up what you're claiming about the cause of all of this?
Well, of course, they have no facts whatsoever, but they do have an agenda, and they're not about to set that agenda aside for the sake of really helping the people of California who have been victims of the wildfire. On the contrary, they're going to cynically use the wildfires in much the same way that they cynically used the hurricanes that struck Texas and Florida a couple of months ago. We're saying, this is further proof of climate change, when as a matter of fact, wildfires in California are every bit as common as hurricanes in tropical regions of the world. Human activity through the burning of fossil fuels has absolutely nothing to do with this, because all of these things were going on long before human beings ever came along, and they'll probably be around long after we're gone.
And if you look at some of the storms that we see anywhere around the world and the force and the strength of them, if you think mankind can battle and overcome and influence nature, then you got a really big ego.
Yeah, that's a fight you're not going to win, believe me. But what's really incumbent upon us is that we adapt. There are things, for instance, in coastal regions, it's how structures are built. It's what can be done to control the floods that we know are coming once the storms come, and we know that the storms will come. Similarly, in those areas of the West, including California, which we know are prone to fire, we do clear vegetation as much as possible. We must be ever vigilant to do everything we can to protect people from, again, something that we know is going to happen. We don't know when, although the fire season out there usually runs from August and September to about now, because it's the dry part of the season. But our task as human beings living on Earth is to adapt to whatever Mother Nature serves. Now big parts of the world are technologically very sophisticated. We can do all sorts of things to limit the damage, but what we cannot can do is control the climate.
Then these are the conversations and the talking points that we should be having, as opposed to some of the fantasy that too many people want to spend time in an issue such as this. Learn more about the work of the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. CFACT.org is their website. We've been joined by their senior policy analyst, Dr. Bonner Cohen. Doctor, thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.